pray for each soul here that as they go from here, there'll be a love for you and a drawing closer to you that is rekindled in their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Here, Thomas, before you start, is anybody new that you might want to give you a brief who you are, what you do, your life history, and all that?
Who is not here Friday night? Okay, a few people. And then today, missed it today too? You, okay. My brother and I, we were both raised in this church and left by the time we got to college, and we believe that it was because of our focus and our attention on the things of the world that really led us away from spiritual things. And as we came back into a relationship with God, after a friend of ours had given us some videos of Walter White's Total Onslaught series, that really began to awaken within us these things that we had been raised to believe is true. And so we came back to a belief in the message of Adventism. And shortly after this, we're asked to give a presentation at a school in our hometown in Paradise. And the original request was just to show a movie to these kids at this youth rally and tell them how it relates to God. And we said, well, why don't we just look at Hollywood in general, and that's where all this came from. So we had this one little presentation. This was about 4 years ago. And then that next summer, a year later, we were asked to speak at SoCal Camp Meeting, and we expanded it into 5 different talks. And then now we've just came up with a new one on video games and a new one on cartoons. And I'm leaving, by the way, all these DVDs I'm leaving in a box with JP, so they'll be made available to anybody who'd like to help support our ministry. And then I'm also leaving a full set of them here with this church, so if you just want to loan them out, you can borrow them and check them out that way. So today's topic, we're going to look at the phenomenon of superheroes. And before we begin, actually, someone asked earlier too, our website is littlelightstudios.tv. I have a few business cards. If someone wants a business card, I can give you one afterwards. But if you want to go to our website and check out some more things there, you can. The Bible tells us in Matthew 22:35-38 about this lawyer who came questioning Jesus, testing him. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the foremost commandment. And if we look there at the first commandment, and God spoke these words, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. And I like this picture here of Moses, that it's like the law is this gift that God has given us, describing his character, and it is truly a law of love. Is it not? I mean, didn't Jesus tell, remember, the disciples, he said, love your neighbor and love yourself. Love your neighbor. Love God and love your neighbor. On these 2 points hang all the 10 commandments, right? So, first and foremost, to love God. I mean, to have the love of God in our hearts, that's how we love our neighbor. So that's why he's saying that first and foremost is to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. The second commandment, you shall not make it for yourself any image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I am the Lord your God, and I am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of their parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who keep my commandments, who love me and keep my commandments. Now, Is the Bible telling us here that I'm going to suffer for the sins of my dad?
No.
No. It's saying that if my dad had a problem with something, I most likely will have that same problem, right? The sins, that's how the sins are passed from one generation to the next. In Isaiah 60, arise and shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. What a promise. What a promise. That, you know, in this great controversy between Christ and Satan, Christ has accused God of being unfair. His law is unfair. It's, you can't keep it. And no one has. There's only been one, right? Who's kept it? Jesus. And here, at the very end of time, this great message that we have as a church to proclaim to the world is this message of love. And how we do that is through our own lives, right? A lot of times you hear people say, hey, the gospel should go to the whole world, and then the end shall come. Is that what it reads?
No.
No. What's the part of leaving out? The gospel should go to the world? As a witness. That's right, as a witness. So, it's by our... God is vindicating His name through His people, and what a privilege, what a blessing we each have to co-labor with God in this last great work. It's ultimately vindicating the character of God before the entire universe. Amazing. 1 Corinthians 10. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink from, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. So the stories of the Old Testament and the things that were given in the Bible, they're given to us as examples so that we don't follow into those same paths that the Israelites fell into. 1 Corinthians 10:20-22 says, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? So, you know, are there things in our lives that are compromising in a way where maybe we're somehow trying to be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils? So let's look at superheroes and where these superheroes came from. If you just look at the name, hero, it's a man of distinguished courage or ability admired for his brave deeds and noble qualities. This is classical mythology. A being of godlike prowess and beneficence who often came to be honored as divinity. That's just the definition of what a hero is. So basically, superheroes are super gods. And in this next little clip here, here's where some of these superheroes came from.
The ancient gods of Greece and Rome and Egypt still exist, only today they wear spandex and capes. Superman is as much of a Moses figure as he is a Christ figure. You know, is coming from another world, you know, having all this power, and really saving lives.
Our redemption is not going to come from here, goes the myth. Instead, we'll be saved from the outside.
Batman, Darkman, detective, Gotham's greatest protector. His parents killed before him at an early age. He is the world's greatest detective. He's the world's greatest escape artist. And he's arguably the world's greatest hand-to-hand combatant. He also has a bazillion dollars. And that's not somebody you want to go up against.
One of the reasons that Batman has been so popular for so long is his iconography is that of a demon. If you look at the paintings of medieval paintings of devils in museums, the Batwings, the Marmots, he looks like something that's dark and evil, and his origins are in an act of murder, and yet he's on your side.
Wonder Woman is a perfect transition from the ancient myths. There are echoes of the Amazons in Homer's writing that refers to a tribe of women that lived without men, that were terrifyingly efficient soldier warriors.
Flash, the fastest man alive, can move at speeds near the speed of light, can outrace a bullet to its target, can run up the side of a building, can actually cross the ocean before he has time to sink.
There's the old Flash, and then there's the new Flash. The old Flash is a perfect counterpart for Hermes or Mercury in the old myths. You know it immediately when you see the helmet with the wings on it. It refers to the god of the messengers. In a fascinating way, the artists who are creating today's comics are doing heroic work by taking the timeless tales that began in the world of myth and bringing them into the future.
Are you with?
Okay, so did anybody realize that? That the superheroes are just the old ancient gods of Greece and Rome just repackaged? There's nothing new under the sun. I remember I gave this presentation to a school for a week of prayer in Florida, and they said, yeah, come to our grade school. And I said, yeah, okay, well, I got there with the entire school. It was kindergarten through eighth grade. So I trimmed things down and made it as simple as I could. And when I played this little clip for them, each time the new superhero come up, the little kindergartners and first graders sitting on the front row were cheering, yay, for their superhero. And I was like, oh, no. What have I done? And so afterwards, I was like, okay, guys, did you hear what the guy was saying about where the superheroes come from? And they're like, just sitting there. They didn't even hear that. They didn't even see it. All they cared about was they saw their favorite superhero up there. And I was like, look, you guys, this is, I mean, these guys, this is the just nothing new under the sun. Greek and Roman gods repackaged. Do you want to follow the old ancient idols that all the pagan religions worship? No. It was really a real blessing to see their little lights come on throughout the week and realize some of these things. Here's another little montage that we put together of the superheroes referring to themselves as gods.
Gods, angels, different cultures call us by different names. Now all of a sudden it's superhero.
Victor, you always thought you were a god.
Yes, you're not a god.
Gods are selfish beings who fly around in little red capes and don't share their power with mankind.
Wish to cure us, and I say we are the cure.
A conflict between the better and worse angels of our very nature.
Now, humanity's only hope is our government's best kept secret.
Not easy for me to live my life being who I am, keeping secrets.
The world doesn't need a savior.
We can be a great people, Kal-El, they wish to be. They only lack the light to show the way. For this reason, above all, their capacity for good. I have sent him you, my only son.
How it's like It's not easy being mean, keeping secrets. Is Christ keeping secrets from us? Right? So you see, there's this whole different approach. If we look at the origin of Superman, the idea of Superman was taken from a vehemently anti-Christian philosopher who never tired of condemning the Christian faith as weak, absurd, and detrimental to human development. Friedrich Nietzsche, the famous German philosopher. There's some famous quotes from him. There is no God, only Superman. And this is an old science fiction story that goes way back. The comic character Superman was created by these two Jewish writers from Cleveland, Ohio in 1933 named Jerry Siegel and Joel Shuster. Names in the Bible refer to what?
Character.
So names have meaning. And in all these stories, they all have meaning. There's no one's given a name just out of the hat. It's all purposeful. So you look at Superman, and he's fighting against this character, Lex Luthor. Well, remember, Superman's real name is Kal-El. And that's the Hebrew translation of Kal-El is all that is God, totally God. Okay? So that's Superman is the God character. And he is fighting against Lex, and Lex is Latin for law. So here we have this fight against the law. So really, you know, all that is God, totally God, is that really the God we serve or the God of this world? The beast from Krypton here, it reveals a little bit who he is and where he's from. He has this mark, he's holding the 666, and he possesses all the other superheroes, and he puts his mark in their forehead. Mm. So they are all under his control. Batman, Son of the Demon, this comic book series here, the story in there is called Bethlehem Burning. And these are kids' things. I mean, kids. I never was into comic books, but it always amazed me when I look at these things. How
all of Gotham is wondering what to make of that friend or foe?
Friend or foe? Is Batman a friend or foe? It's from the old Batman movie in 1989. And you know, you look at some of these comics, and they're just so dark. And you know, here he's talking about. His father being, to wear this mantle, he suffered for this right. It's these two Batmans that were fighting against each other. We're both sons of the same father, and the one guy's saying, "Well, my father is, I have another father, and our father is in hell." And I'm surprised that the son of Satan doesn't remember what they did to God, to the Son of God. And I guess the dragon forgot to mention the bargain he made with me when I was 14 for Gotham's survival in return for my soul. I prayed until he came, the old man, the dragon. He came with wings of black and skin like a bat and anointed me his Messiah. So you see where Batman's origins really come. When you look in the comics, you see exactly where their origins come from. You know, it's astounding when you start to just look at the numbers that are spent just at the box office worldwide. And look at these top just a few here. There's Batman The Dark Knight down there at number 7, you know, just over $1 billion. I mean, almost $3 billion, you know, $1.8 billion. You could solve world hunger with these top few right here. Right? I mean, it's crazy what is spent, and it's us that are supporting this thing. It's because we go and we see these things in the theater that it can even exist. The old Batman series, there were lots of themes in these Egyptian themes and things here. One of the characters was King Tut, and he lived here in the Pyramid Club. So there were occult ties and themes even in the old series, which looks like child's play compared to now. This is a little dark here. Can we lighten the projector at all? Is there a
I think the contrast is maxed.
The contrast is maxed. Okay, we can't really see what's happening here, but there's two people and they're pushing a little baby carriage down this thing and they toss it over into a river. And the little basket floats down and these penguins find him, and this is the beginning of the character penguin. Moses, right? And here's the story of Moses. And it's even more solid in this scene here where
these are the names of the firstborn sons of Gotham City, just like I was. And like me, a terrible fate waits for them.
So see here, his vendetta against the city is he's going to take out the firstborn. So again, a Moses figure. There's all sorts of occult themes and things all throughout. You see a little triangle with an all-seeing eye on his hat. And these symbols are all throughout these different superhero films.
For if knowledge is power, then a god am.
So here Jim Carrey, he's playing the Riddler, and he says, if knowledge is power, then a god am I. So what god is he? Well, he looks a lot like Osiris, the Lord of the Dead. His skin is green, which symbolizes rebirth, and you see he has this green striped cane, just like Osiris was always holding. And you can just go through the characters, you know, Catwoman is taken from the ancient god Beset, the Egyptian god Beset, was worshipped in the Delta, and usually depicted as a cat. As a cat with a human form, with a cat head. And she is the life-preserving goddess of joy and the protector of women, known for the cat as a sex symbol archetype. Mm-hmm. Catwoman definitely had that archetype. Again, this is kind of really dark to see. I apologize. This is a scene from Two-Face's lair. So it's divided down the middle, and there's these two different sides, one being all in white and nice looking, and there's this candlestick over there. It's a seven-branch candlestick. There's some smoke rising here. There's like a pig on a spit right here, and there's all these different elements that we find in the sanctuaries in this scene. In the back of the room, there's a face with it almost looks like a crown of thorns on the head. I can kind of hold my computer up here. You guys can see that picture. It's as you can see there, the face. And so Two-Face, again, is just another one of the ancient gods. And so Two-Face is basically the god Uzmu or Ismud, the official of the god Ea. He has two faces. He acts as a messenger and sometimes shown bringing the birdman before Ea. So they just kind of, you know, like it was said in the beginning with those guys who write the comic books, these are just the ancient gods repackaged. If you look at the Dark Knight movie, it's interesting because there's he's always traveling around with these cards, right? And he's leaving these cards all over the place. And Revelation 20, it says, you know, speaking of Satan as being the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and these cards that he's always throwing around, the dragon, the serpent, and the Joker card. Now, if you look into these cards, they're actually tarot cards, and actually the entire playing card pack that we have is just playing cards, are derived from the tarot card deck. And the only card that it has is preserved from the old tarot card pack to our common playing cards is the Joker card. And the Joker card it means fool, because he's being held up for ridicule. Okay? So the tarot card meaning of the Joker, look at some of the meanings there. It's innocence, beginning, simplicity, a fresh start, blind faith. So who's the Joker?
Get sucked into it.
I heard a card player once say that the Joker was symbolic of Jesus.
That's it.
In the deck of cards.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
And that's why he doesn't play.
Yeah,
he doesn't
right.
play in the game.
No, but he had that he was converted, but he knew what the cards meant.
Right, right. And it's the Joker who's being held up for ridicule. So in the tarot card pack and everything, that the whole reason behind that is because they're holding up Christ is ridicule. There's this scene where Batman pushes the Joker off the side of this building and he shoots his little thing down and hoists him up. And he's hoisting him up by his left leg and his arms are outstretched in this position here, which is the Hangman tarot card. And if you look at the meanings of that, it's yield, suspend, surrender, sacrifice, non-action, submission, in between. So again, just reinforcing that the Joker in this story of Batman is Christ. Christ is the Joker. And if you notice there, you see the Devil card, you see the Dragon card, and the Serpent card is over here, and the only one burning is the Joker card. Everything in each of these scenes is you know, purposefully put there. Here, another website talking about the playing card pack is derived from tarot cards. So we found lots of links talking about this and reinforcing that that's where we get our modern playing cards. Occult origins of the Joker. There were lots and lots of these. Also significant in the very name, the Joker card is reputed to be based on the tarot card, the Fool. So the tarot card, actually, the Joker card is derived from is the Fool card, basically saying that Christ is a fool. And there was a sister here that just handed me this thing this morning, this quote from Joanne Rowling, the author of the Harry Potter series. And it's interesting. I was reading this, and you know, she's basically saying, I think it's absurd, absolute rubbish, to protest children's books on the grounds that they are luring children to Satan, she told the London Times. People should be praising them for that. These books guide children to an understanding that the weak, idiotic Son of God is a living hoax who will be humiliated when the rain of fire comes and will suck the greasy blank, they don't say there, of the Dark Lord, of the Dark Lord. While we, his faithful servants, laugh and covert in victory. So, holding Christ up for ridicule. I mean, that's the whole occult thing that they're trying to do. Here on the poster it says, you know, welcome to a world without rules. This constant battle against the law. One of the previews... we used to play the preview, but it's just kind of like the music is not good. So I just made this slide here of what it actually says. This was a preview for the movie, and it just shows the Batman emblem as these sparks are flying all around it and everything. And you hear the voice of Alfred speaking to Bruce Wayne, and he says, some men can't be bought, bullied, reasoned, or negotiated with. Some men just want to watch the world burn. So that's what they think of Christ. And then the Joker's voice, you hear his voice, he says, starting tonight, people will die. I am a man of my word. And the whole movie is culminating at midnight. So the whole film, is all the stuff's taking place, and it's coming up to this point, it's coming up to midnight when the Joker's going to blow up this... I can't remember if it was a building. I didn't see the movie, but he's blowing something up with a bunch of people in it. And it gets to that. It gets to midnight, and midnight, and nothing happens. Kind of a little subliminal message there. That, hey, you know, judgment? Is it really going to come? So again, these characters are flip-flopped. And if you just look at their character, you can see which side the superheroes fall on. Christ's character, he always revealed his true identity, whereas Satan always masks his true identity. Satan's never changing. Christ is never changing. Satan always has dual and multiple personalities. Christ didn't have physical beauty. I don't know why he tells us that. There was nothing that was attractive about him that people would be attracted just based upon his looks. Satan is always masking himself with physical beauty. Christ turns the other cheek. Satan's bent on revenge. Look at every superhero. They're bent on revenge. Power comes from God. Power comes from self. So we can see what side the superheroes actually fall on. The Justice League of America was a superhero comic book series that kind of brought them all together, and this little clip here is talking about the culmination, the end of this comic book series.
Tom?
Yes.
The first actor on television that played the role of Superman was a man by the name of George Reeves. The series ended. You know what happened to him?
Hmm.
He took a gun and killed himself.
Hmm.
That's the kind of damage this stuff does to people.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
The big climax of Grant's run in the 90s was World War III, which climaxed with every man, woman, and child on Earth temporarily inheriting superpowers so that they could team up with the Justice League to fight off Armageddon from above. It was the most amazing sight. 6 billion people all rising from the earth, all flying. Look up in the sky. It's 6 billion people.
Did you catch that? 6 billion people all inherit superpowers to fight off Armageddon from above. That's the message that was implanted in all the youngsters and those who read this comic book series. And I showed that clip the first night, Friday night, for those of you who weren't here, of Roger Morneau talking about the things he learned when he almost got involved with this Satanist church. And one of the deceptions that Satan has told his angels and all his followers is that he has a way of protecting them from the lake of fire. Temporarily giving them superhuman power to survive that last battle of Armageddon. Revelation 27-9. Let's read that. That's the day when the New Jerusalem comes down. That's a good little verse there. Revelation 27-9. When the 1,000 years were ended, Satan will be released from his prison, and he will come out to deceive the nations at the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, in order to gather them for battle. And they were as numerous as the sands of the sea, and they marched up over the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints in the beloved city, and fire came down from heaven and consumed them. So the Bible's clear on the ending here, and Satan has deceived his followers that the Bible isn't true in what it says. 1 Corinthians 10, now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to men. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but with the temptation also make a way of escape. Amen? That ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. You know, God is always, he always provides a way of escape. And you know, it leaves the choice to us. Are we going to take that way of escape? And again, it's not by our might or by our power, but it's through the through Christ dwelling in us that we can even choose that way of escape. Last little thing we'll look at here. Captain EO. How many people have seen Captain EO? No?
Michael Jackson.
Man, Disneyland. Must be old. Yeah, it was Disneyland when I was a kid.
Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
I saw it once.
Yeah.
Never again.
This was my brother's and my favorite attraction. Every time we went to Disneyland, we had to go see Captain EO. It was a 3D, the first 3D thing we'd ever seen. Interesting, the emblem that they choose is this is the triangle, upside down triangle again. The triangles are an occult symbol for the divinity of man. And, you know, the mark of the beast, 666, three sixes, six is the number of a man. And so, really the mark is man placing himself in the place of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So that's the 666 symbol, and that's what's depicted by the equilateral triangle. And actually, they say the most powerful symbol in occultism is not the upside down pentagram, but the six sided, you know, the Star of David, because it's a double in your face, male female, man's divinity over God. So thousands of people went to this attraction. Is no longer there at Disneyland.
It's still there.
Is it still there?
Yeah.
Oh wow! I thought they took it out. No, it's still there, huh?
They put a new one in.
That's amazing.
It's like revisited or something.
Okay. Yeah, it was gone for a while. I remember, and then I didn't realize they brought it back. Just interesting. If you just look at his outfit, right? He's got these colored stones on his chest. And the whole thing is about him freeing people from the bondage of this evil queen. And as he goes around and he sings and dances and shoots his little rainbow, whatever you want to call it, love streams into all these different people. And they start coming out of the walls and everything and being freed from the evil princess. And then he ends up even converting her, too, into this beautiful princess who's no longer evil and controlling the world. A lot of parallels there. We found this interesting. This Korvantes, the worshippers of the goddess Cybele, they had long hair and dressed and waved like women. They were heavily made up. Their faces resembled whitewashed walls. They were castrated and keepers of children, infants, and infants partaking in coming of age rituals and celebrations. They practiced magic and divination to make money. They made wild cries and high-pitched shrills while they performed their dances to the music of the pipes and the dull beat of the tambourine. When the deity entered into them and they were possessed by the divine power, they would dance uncontrollably in an ecstatic frenzy. Interesting. Here I saw it. I was like, wait, is that his sister? No, that was Michael. And, you know, that was the most watched event ever on television in human history, was his funeral. And there was something that took place. It was a smoke screen. There was some big political thing that took place. Do you remember what? Yeah, something at the Vatican. Yeah, something about the New World Order happened at the Vatican while the funeral was happening, while most of the world was distracted with this event. A greater event was taking place that they didn't want most people to see.
One of the running jokes in the radio business was you'd never see Michael and his sister together.
Right. So our closing verse here for today, Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. We cannot serve God and mammon. So we know that we can't have two masters, you know, and so a lot of times, you know, we think, oh, well, I don't worship these superheroes, or I don't worship the movie stars. But are we so involved with what's going, you know what I mean? To say that we don't worship something that we give all our time to, I don't know. We need to really take a serious look at what we're doing with our time.